Following the disaster of the Great Leap Forward, Mao withdrew from the scene and went into a kind of seclusion. The running of the country was left to more moderate civil servants. The Chinese were able, in part, to return to normal life and have a sigh of relief. But Mao was planning new murders. He thought that communist ideology had not spread sufficiently in society and attributed the failure of the Great Leap Forward to that deficiency. Mao's supporters printed tens of millions of copies of his little red book, consisting of some of his speeches. Known as the Great Helmsman, Mao re-emerged onto the scene in the second half of the 1960s. A display of swimming he gave in the Yangtze River demonstrated both his energy and his support. Mao, first of all, set about debasing classic Chinese arts for the ideological program he dreamed of. He wished to graft the ideas of violence and conflict, the basis of communism, onto society, and thought he could commence the process with opera. The traces of communist insanity could clearly be seen on the faces of the performers, who had been brainwashed by Maoist doctrines. A visit by Mao to the opera was the greatest honor imaginable for such fanatical supporters. Mao commenced his second leap in 1966. This was the great proletarian cultural revolution. Propaganda portraying Mao as a divine figure was put out all over China. School children were made to learn his little red book off by heart. His slogans were written on walls. And posters portrayed him as literally a superhuman being. The militants of the Cultural Revolution were young students known as Red Guards. On August 18, 1966, some 1 million Red Guards brainwashed with Mao's ideas came together in Tiananmen Square. They trampled each other in an effort to catch a glimpse of Mao's face. One young girl student was brought to Mao's side and shook his hand. Even if that was of little significance to Mao himself, it was a matter of the greatest significance to the girl and her friends, who all fell over themselves to touch the hand that had been shaken by Mao. Mao set these brainwashed youngsters on society with the slogan, Revolution is right. He ordered the Red Guards to humiliate teachers in schools, managers in state offices, or anyone else they saw as being in authority. Red Guards even detained Liu Shaoqi, who bore the title of head of state, and inflicted all kinds of insults on him. Anyone involved in the management of any institution was accused of not being a communist, even if he had done nothing wrong, and would be hauled up in front of the crowds and humiliated. Such people would have humiliating paper hats put on their heads, and labels with insults written on them hung around their necks, would be slapped and pushed, and even beaten and tortured. Most were then killed in mass executions. The Red Guards were even capable of humiliating and beating their own parents. They would stop passers-by and ask them about passages from Mao's Little Red Book, beating those who failed to answer correctly. More than 1 million people were killed in this way. This is how one observer described the inhuman treatment meted out to university professors detained during the Cultural Revolution. Before a new four-story classroom building, I saw rows of teachers, about 40 or 50 in all, with black ink poured over their heads and faces. They all wore dunce caps and carried dirty brooms, shoes, and dusters on their backs. Hanging from their necks were pails filled with rocks. Finally, they all knelt down, burned incense, and begged Mao Zedong to pardon their crimes. Beating and torture followed. I had never seen such tortures before. Eating night soil and insects, being subjected to electric shocks, being forced to kneel on broken glass, being hanged like an aeroplane by the arms and legs. The Red Guards also attacked Western diplomats. The country was being drawn ever deeper into chaos and violence. Museums were ruined. Books burned, after which fighting broke out between rival Red Guard factions. Factories, schools, and hospitals all stopped functioning. Mao's nonsense had led a whole country to a state of anarchy. Order was only restored when the army intervened. The Red Guards were made harmless and sent off to labor in the fields. Even so, the madness of the Cultural Revolution only came to an end with Mao's death in 1976. The Communist Party's loyalty to him continued, however. In the funeral lament written for him, the bloody dictator was portrayed as a superior being. Mao's body was mummified and preserved. His ideology would survive, however, and continue to spill blood. Maoism is the very worst version of communism. The interesting thing is that this tragedy struck not only China, but also other countries influenced by China. When Sino-Soviet relations fell apart in the 1960s, Maoism found support in various countries as an alternative model of communism. Regimes based on Maoist principles were set up in Albania, North Korea, and Cambodia. And those regimes inflicted almost unimaginable suffering on people. The Cambodian killing fields in particular are a tale of a savagery unequaled in world history.